start off with a prayer. We are continuing with the Ramayana series. So far we have completed Balakanda and we have completed a major portion of Ayodhya Kanda. We will finish Ayodhya Kanda today and then enter into Aranyakanda. We will start off with the prayers. Om Adhyana Thinirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langaye Thetirin Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurun Dhinatarinam Namavom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Radhanath Swami Nitinamani Namavom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamani Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschayata Deshakarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Gauravaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Prayers to Valmiki and Shri Hanuman. Kujantam Rama Rameti Maduram Madurakshram Aruhya Kavita Shakam Vande Valmiki Kokilam Valmiki Munisimhasya Kavitavanacharina Shrinvan Rama Kathanatam Konayati Paramgatim Vedavedye Parepumsi Jate Dashavatatmaje Veda Prachetrasadase Sakshat Ramayanatmana Anjananandanam Viram Janaki Shokanashanam Katisham Akshahantaram Vande Lanka Bhayankaram Manojavam Maruta Tulyavegam Jitendriyam Buddhimatam Varishtam Vatatmajam Vanarayuda Mukhyam Shri Ramadutam Shirasanamami Anjaneya Madhipatanalanam Kanchanadi Kamaniya Vigraham Parijata Tarumula Vasinam Bhavayami Bhavamananandanam Yatra Yatra Raghunatha Kirtanam Tatra Tatra Krita Mastakanjalim Bhashpavari Paripurna Lochanam Marutim Namata Rakshasantakam. Prayers to Lord Sri Ramachandra. Sri Raghavam Dasharatatmajam Apramenyam Sitapatim Raghukulanvaya Ratnadeepam Ajanubahum Maravinda Dayala Daksham Ramam Nishachara Vinashakaram Namami. Hare Krishna. So we continue with the part 3 of Ayodhya Kanda. It's a very small portion that we are yet to finish. Before we do that, I will quickly revise what we saw in the previous class. So overall, in the Ayodhya Kanda, we saw the story of how Lord Sri Ramachandra was banished to the forest. Once he was banished to the forest by Mother Kaikeyi, Sita and Lakshmana followed him. And not only them, the citizens of Ayodhya also followed them. But then Lord Ram, he eluded the citizens and he went into the forest when they were sleeping. And later, after he entered the forest, he met Guha and he spent the night there in Sringibheripuram, which is the area where Guha was ruling. Then he procured a boat with the help of Guha and he crossed the Ganges and he went ahead into the forest and then he reached Chitrakoot. So meanwhile, Bharat returned to Ayodhya from Kekirdesh. And he found out that his father was dead and Lord Ram was banished to the forest. So immediately he decides to go and bring Ram back to Ayodhya. And they all construct a pathway, that is Bharat, Shatrughna, the ministers and the mothers and everybody together, they decide to go inside the forest and bring Ram back. So they all construct a pathway and they enter the forest and they take a similar route. First they meet Guha. Then they meet Bharatvaj, and then finally they reach Chitrakoot. So finally, stationing the army at the outskirts, Bharata and Shatrughna, along with Sumantra and one of their elderly spiritual preceptors, Driti, these four people, they go to the cottage where Sitaram Lakshman were staying, and Ram receives Bharata just like how a father would receive a son. He makes Bharat sit on his lap, smells his head, and then he starts to inquire about the well-being of Bharata. So this is where we stopped in the previous class. Okay, so much of the Ayodhya Kanda we have already seen. So today we will continue from this point onwards. What happened after this? So once Lord Ram, he received Bharata and Shatrughna, very lovingly, Lord Ram, he places Bharata on his lap. He smells his head, just like an affectionate father. And then he inquires about the kingdom.
If Bharata is able to execute all his duties in the kingdom. Now at this point, Lord Ram is thinking that Bharata started ruling the kingdom. So keeping that in mind, Lord Ram asks Bharata, Lord Ram says, so I hope you're ruling well, treating all the citizens properly. I hope you're respecting all the women in your kingdom. And I hope that you're not fallen into the 14 weaknesses of a king. And actually in the Ramayana, these 14 weaknesses of a king are listed. And it is so interesting to see that in today's world, all the kings or the rulers and the ministers, all of them have 100% fallen into these 14 weaknesses. So the 14 weaknesses of a king that is listed in the Ramayana are, the first of all, atheism. So today it is a fashion for people to be atheist if they are rulers. So the first weakness that a king should not fall into is atheism, hypocrisy, anger, procrastination, laziness, slavery to the senses, contempt for good advice, lack of vigilance, fondness of bad counsel, impractical planning and inability to keep a secret, having bad friends, negligence of religious observation, observances, following religious observances, and failure to counteract enemies. So these are the 14 weaknesses that is listed, and Lord Ramachandra is asking Bharata, I hope you have not fallen into these 14 weaknesses. I hope you are following all the rules and regulations properly. And then he tells him, are you aware of the three kinds of provinces of a king? The three provinces of a king are their energy, authority and intelligence. I hope you're keeping all this intact. Then he says, you should avoid four types of company, which is people who are gossipy, foul mouth, usurpers of property and those who are unjust. So he says it's better to keep the company of one learned man than having the company of thousands of fools. A king should never keep a physician who's expert in increasing the disease. So we see all this happening in today's world. So Lord Ram says a king should never keep a physician who's an expert in increasing the disease and procrastinating the solution to the disease. He should never keep a servant who brings disgrace to the master, and a warrior who wants to become the ruler himself. This is something we have seen in history again and again. A warrior trying to take the role of a king, killing the king and taking the kingdom for himself. So about these three things, that how a king should never keep a physician who is expert in increasing the disease, a servant who brings disgrace to his master, and a warrior who wants to become the ruler himself. So these three things you should avoid, he tells Bharata. So like this, Lord Ramachandra was advising Bharata on all these matters, assuming that Bharata has already started to rule. Then Ram pauses for a minute and then he asks Bharat why he has come to the forest wearing tree barks and matted his hair. Because Bharat, before he came to Chitrakoot, actually when he took leave of Guha, he actually maxed his hair, just like how Lord Ramachandra did. He maxes his hair and he wears deer skin and barks of trees and all that, and he enters the forest just like an insect. So he's like, where is our father? Why have you come to the forest like this, abandoning the kingdom of Ayodhya? So at that time, Bharata, he tells Ram about his innocence in the banishment of Lord Ram into the forest. And he says that he didn't have any desire for the kingdom and the whole thing was planned by Kaikeyi and Mantara, and he was completely innocent in this matter. And with a choked voice, he pleads Ram to come back to Ayodhya. He says, you have to come back. You are the legal heir. You have to come. Always the first son becomes the king in the Ikshvaku dynasty. So please come back. I will stay in the forest. You have to come back. At that time, Ram says that, no, Bharata, you must obey the order of our father. King Dasharath allotted two different duties to the two of us. One is he told me to go on an exile into the forest. And the second thing is he asked you to rule the kingdom. So this is the order of our father and we must implicitly obey whatever he says. So Lord Ramachandra replies back to Bharata, and that time, with a heavy heart, Bharata opens up the news that their father, Dasharath, actually died. So this is the first time he's Lord Ram is hearing the news about his father's death. At this point, Bharata says, our father is no more, he's dead. So at that time, Lord Ram is totally shaken up. He almost faints away, and after hearing the news of his father's death, after everyone sprinkles water on his face, he's brought back to consciousness by Bharata, and Lord Ramchandra begins to lament in various ways. Bharata tries to console him, and then Sita breaks down, she begins to cry, and Lord Ramchandra consoles Sita. So like this, everybody is crying, Lakshmana is crying, everybody cries, and Bharata tries to console everyone. And then Bharata, he requests Ram to offer water and pinda to the deceased father. So he said, our father, when he died, all his thought was in, all his thought was in you. He was just thinking of you and Sita. He was just thinking of Sita Ram. So he was completely absorbed thinking of you. So please, it is your duty to offer pinda to him now. So at that time, Lord Ram, painfully, he reaches the river Mandakini that was flowing nearby, and he offers water and balls of fruit pulp. See, Lord Ramchandra is in the forest, and he doesn't have the, he's not able to procure cooked rice and sesame seeds and all that. So what he does is he picks up fruit pulp, and he takes some water of the Mandakini River and he offers it to his departed father. So like this, they are offering the for their departed, to the departed soul, and everyone was crying, and this whole crying and mourning, it created an echo in the mountain where they were living. So hearing all these echoes, all the entire troops who were stationed outside in the forest, they all approach Ram. They think there is some problem, and everyone comes. So when all the troops, the mothers and the ministers, everyone comes, Lord Ramchandra receives them with great affection. And then the mothers and Vasishtha Muni, who came along with them, when they see Lord Ram, Sita and Lakshman leading a life of such austerity in the forest, they go lovingly, they run towards him and they wipe off the dust from Ram's back. And all the brothers, when they saw their mothers, they paid obeisances to the mothers and all of them sat down. So Bharata and all the sages, all the ministers and Vasishtha, everyone, they beg Lord Ram to come back. But Ram clearly says that he will follow the words of his father and there is no question of returning before 14 years. And then he strictly says that Bharata must rule the kingdom and I'm not going to come back until the 14-year period is over. So like this, when he's talking in the crowd,
Hare Krishna Mataji, I cannot hear.
Hare Krishna Mataji, even I can't hear Mataji.
We can't hear Mataji, where are you?
Okay, I guess we'll have to wait until she comes.
Mataji card is connected.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Yeah. So I think I got dropped off. So I was talking about a Brahmana by the name Jabali was trying to persuade Lord Ram to accept the kingdom by advocating the theory of the Nastikas, that is non-believers. So Jabali began to speak and he started telling Ram, see Ram, you don't have to get attached to your father's words and remain in this troublesome forest. What is this, Rama? What are you talking? You're just talking about your father, your father's words. I won't go against my father's words. Just tell me who's related to whom. What is obtained by anyone? Who's responsible for anything? Every creature is just born alone and he dies alone. So no one belongs to anyone. There is no question of father or mother. And all this is only a cause of attachment. So when you're giving unnecessary importance to all these words, you should simply accept what is comfortable for you to leave this life. You should just accept the luxuries of the kingdom of Ayodhya and just leave this nasty forest. No, what is all this righteousness, listening to father's words? All this is meaningless. Just matter comes into existence and you all enjoy and then we just die. That's all. There is nothing more than that. All these rules, regulations, rituals after death. What is this offering pinda and everything? Who is going to come and eat it? Such a waste of food. All these austerities and sacrifices and rituals and everything you're doing is just a total waste of time, totally meaningless. So like this, he begins to speak the theory of atheism, saying that everything matter just came into existence and we must just enjoy this one life today, not worry about anything else. You know, like that. He just continues to speak like that. When Ram heard all this, Ram was pretty shocked, actually. He started refuting all the arguments one by one. And then Ram says, one must follow the words of Shastra and he must listen to his elders and righteousness is the only way. If the kings themselves don't follow any rules and regulations and simply follow their whims and fancies, then what about the subjects? I mean, the people who are the followers, what about the people in the kingdom? If the king is setting a wrong example. So like that, with a lot of disgust, Lord Ram said, I accuse the act done by my father in taking you into his service. With your misleading intelligence, you are a firm atheist and you have fallen from the true path. So like this, imagine Lord Ram was chastising Jabali. He said, my father did a big mistake by taking you as his minister. You are 100% atheist and you have fallen from the true path. You have absolutely no intelligence. So like this, Lord Ramachandra accuses Jabali. So Lord Ram says, one should never have close association with an atheist. I totally reject you. These are the words of Lord Ramachandra. Now imagine being rejected by the Lord. The Lord doesn't reject anybody. The Lord is equal to everybody. Suhridam sarva bhutanam. He's saying, I totally reject you. And imagine the magnanimity of Lord Ram. Actually, if you see in the entire Ramayan, he was ready to accept everyone. He was even ready to accept Ravana if he surrendered. He said, I will give Ravana Ayodhya if he surrenders. You know, I will give him Ayodhya to rule. So that was the magnanimity of Lord Ram. And Lord Ram was so disgusted with Jabali, he said, I totally reject you. So here in this, Jabali became very shocked. He was like, oh my God, I'm being rejected. So he said, no, Ram, it's not that. I just spoke these words so that you would come back to Ayodhya. I just wanted to instigate you so that you would come back to Ayodhya. And then Vasishtha immediately comes to the rescue of Jabali and he says, actually, Jabali didn't mean any of this. He's not an atheist. Please don't think of him like that. He said all these words so that you may come back to Ayodhya. Please understand, Ram, the entire Sun dynasty, this entire Ikshvaku dynasty, the tradition is that always the elder son is given the throne. So please don't break the tradition. You just come back and rule this kingdom. So like that, Vasishtha and Jabali and everybody, they go and they beg Ram to come back. And Bharata, he pursues Ram to return, but Ram is very fixed in his decision. Actually, there's a very, very huge dialogue that happens between him and Bharata. And Bharata tries very hard to convince Lord Ram. And there is a big debate between Ram and Bharat. And at the end of the debate, all the sages who are there, they are kind of astonished looking at the point that Bharata is saying and Rama was, you know, trying to defeat those sentences. And at the end, all the sages told, actually, whatever Ram is saying is correct. He has to follow the path of righteousness. So they all request Bharata to accept Ram's words. Then Bharata says, okay, but one thing, my dear brother, Lord Ram, I will go back to the kingdom. But remember one thing, I cannot rule this vast kingdom alone to the complete satisfaction of the subjects. Unless you're there, the people of Ayodhya are not going to be satisfied. So Bharata says, I agree to the proposition that you're saying that I should go back and rule the kingdom and you will be in the forest. But I have one request. Bharata asks Ram to offer his sandals to be carried by him to Ayodhya so that the people in Ayodhya will be satisfied. So they have the feeling that Lord Ram is present among them. So at this point, Ram very clearly understood that unless Lord Ram gave something something that is greater than himself, Bharata wouldn't leave. Now the question is, what can be greater than the Supreme Lord himself? The answer is, the Lord's Padukas are actually greater than himself. So immediately Lord Ram understood that unless I give something that is so great, Bharata is not going to leave. So he agrees to his request and he steps on his padukas, his footwear, and he steps out and then he offers his sandals to Bharata. So first he steps on it and then he steps down in front of everyone saying, yes, these are my padukas, and he gives these padukas to Bharata. Now there is an explanation about why Lord Ram actually steps on the sandals and gets off. So it is said that as if Lord Ram was trying to get charged from the padukas, because the padukas are greater than Lord Ram, we just stated, right? So Lord Ram was trying to get charged, just like how you charge your cell phone in the night. So you go charge your cell phone in the night and the next day your cell phone is all charged. So similarly, Lord Ram stepped on his padukas so that he could get charged up for his entire stay in the forest. So like that, he took all the powers of his padukas and then he gave his padukas to Bharata to rule. So at that time, Bharata, he takes a vow in front of everyone, in front of Ram, and he says to Lord Ram, I will enter the fire in case you don't return immediately after the expiry of 14 years term of exile. So he makes the statement, oh my dear brother, if you don't come back, only 14 years, even one day if you delay, I will enter into the fire. So Lord Ramchandra says, yes, I will come back. I will come back exactly after 14 years. So after embracing Bharata and Shatrughna, Lord Ramchandra, he bids farewell to all the people who had come from Ayodhya, including his mother. He pays his obeisances, and his mother, their voice are choked up, and they were just unable to bid farewell to Lord Ram. But however, Ram, he offers his obeisances and he asks everyone to leave. And he enters into his hermitage weeping with a very, very heavy heart. So keeping Lord Ram's sandals on his head, keeping the padukas on his head, Bharata, he ascends the chariot along with Shatrughna. And Bharata actually first goes to Ayodhya. There when he enters Ayodhya, he feels very, very sad to see the city of Ayodhya without Lord Ram. And immediately Bharata expresses his desire to proceed to the Nandigram village. That is where he actually stays for the rest of the time. So he tells his ministers and the priests and everyone that his desire is actually to see outside in Nandigram. Vashishtha and others, they agree to his proposal, and Bharata along with Shatrughna, they again ascend the chariot and they go to Nandigram. And there, the ministers, the family, priests, the army, the citizens of Ayodhya, everyone, they followed Bharata on his journey. And there Bharata goes to Nandigram. He installs the wooden sandals of Lord Ram on a royal throne, and then Bharata immediately, he puts on the garb of an ascetic. He doesn't take the garb of a king. Actually, now technically he has to rule this place, but still he doesn't take the kingly garments. Rather, he puts on the garb of an ascetic and he rules there. He takes the orders from the sandals to rule the kingdom. He puts a royal canopy over the throne in which he has placed the wooden sandals, and he takes order from the sandals, and as a representative of Lord Ram, Bharata begins to rule. So this is how Bharata comes, and then he goes back and he establishes his his rule from Nandigram, being a servant of Lord Ram. Now meanwhile, back in the forest in Chitrakoot, where Lord Ramchandra was actually now staying, there was a lot of commotion in that area where Lord Ram was living. What had happened is, all the sages, they decided to leave that place, Chitrakoot, because they were all tormented by a demon by the name Kara. This Kara was disturbing the sacrifices of all the Brahmanas and the sages, and they felt very tormented by the presence of these demons, and they wanted to leave Chitrakoot. Let me just mute. I just hear a lot of disturbance. So Lord Rama, I mean the people around, the sages and all these saintly people who were there, they desired to leave Chitrakoot, and therefore Lord Ram begins to think. Now Lord Ram is also thinking, maybe even I should leave Chitrakoot, I should leave this place, because I feel tormented by the memories of Bharata and my mother's coming here. And any day, you know, everyone will know where exactly I'm staying, and they may even come back to see me. That is one thing. And the second thing is Lord Ram felt he didn't want to stay in a place where saintly people were not there. So his whole idea of coming to the forest and staying amidst saintly people was so that he could get the association of all these saintly people. But now the saintly people themselves were not there, Lord Ram didn't feel like staying in that place anymore. So he decided to leave. So Sita, Ram, Lakshman, all of them, they started to proceed further into the forest, and they went to the ashram of Atri and Anasuya. Now here, Atri and Anasuya, sage Atri and his wife Anasuya, they received Lord Ram with a lot of love. And when Anasuya saw Sita, she began to praise Sita for her very wonderful qualities of following her husband even to the forest. You know, Sita, she could have actually chosen to stay back in the palace. She's a princess after all. She didn't have to go through all this austerity. She could have just chosen to stay back and kind of bid farewell to her husband and decided to see him after 14 years. But Sita, on the contrary, she decided to follow her husband wherever he went. So Anasuya was praising Sita for her qualities. And Anasuya, who is the greatest of all the chaste women, she began to advise Sita on the dharma of a wife. And there's a big conversation between Anasuya and Sita. Anasuya gives her, you know, a lot of inputs on how a chaste wife should behave. And then Anasuya gives her gifts with beautiful jewels. Actually, this is the statement in the Ramayana. Anasuya says, O Sita, the daughter of Videha kingdom, here are some divine gifts. A garland that will always remain fresh, some fresh garments, jewels, scented cosmetic and rare body cream. So like this, Anasuya gives these gifts to Sita, and she tells Sita, these are given by me so that you can adorn your limbs by this. These will never fade away, and they will remain always fresh, and they will beautify you always. So like this, they will remain intact. Even after you keep using them, they will keep remaining intact. So like this, these precious gifts are given by Anasuya. And then Anasuya tells to Sita, Sita, because of my chastity, I have the capability of giving any boon you want. So do you have desire anything? Do you want me to give you anything? At that time, Sita says, no, I don't desire for anything. I have everything in the form of my husband. So I'm completely satisfied. Because, of course, the Supreme Lord is her husband and she's the goddess of fortune. So they were completely satisfied, and she says, I don't need anything else. And then Atri and Anasuya, they happily bless them. And then Atri, he guides Lord Ramachandra to go further into the Dandakaranya forest. So with this, Ayodhya Kanda is complete. Now we will enter Aranya Kanda. So we'll begin with a very beautiful verse of the Aranya Kanda, how Aranya Kanda begins. Pravishyatu Maharanyam Dandakaranyam Atmavam Ramo Dadrisha Durdrisha Tapasa Ashrama Mandalam. On entering this impenetrable Dandakaranya forest, that courageous and invincible Lord Rama saw clusters of hermitages of sages. So this is how Aranya Kanda begins. Lord Rama, he enters the forest. And when he enters the forest of Dandakaranya, there he sees clusters of hermitages of sages, many clusters of hermitages. So here, when Lord Ram is described in this very first verse of Aranya Kanda, he is described as Atmavan, and he is described as invincible and courageous. So if you remember, in the beginning of the Balakanda, the beginning of the epic, we were talking about the question put by Valmiki to Narada. Valmiki was asking about the great 16 qualities of a person, if it was present in anyone. At that time, Narada begins to speak about Lord Rama. This is actually the beginning of the Balakanda. We spoke about this, the 16 great qualities and everything. So here, the special qualities of Lord Ram, which is he's invincible and he's courageous, is being highlighted here in this first first verse of Aranyakanda. Why is it being highlighted? Because Ram has entered the forest. Now, when he has entered the forest and he is now living in Dandakaranya, his major aim is to perform Sajjana Rakshana. That means protecting the pious. Remember in Bhagavad Gita, we know why the Supreme Lord has to appear in this universe. One is to protect the pious and to annihilate the miscreants. So that is what he is going to do here in the forest of Dandakaranya. So in this verse, these qualities of Lord Ram is highlighted, and then it says that Lord Ramachandra entered into this forest with all these great qualities, and there he saw a cluster of hermitages there. So this is another thing, just to pinpoint that generally in those days, the pious people, the sages, people who were very much interested in spending their time in thoughts of the Lord, they always stayed away from the cities and they lived in the forest so that their devotional life would be enhanced. So especially the forest of Dandakaranya was very secluded, and many of these sages desired to live there and they put up their hermitages there. So Lord Ramachandra entered this place. Now, how the people reacted there?
Hare Krishna. Sorry, Mataji, to disturb you. Actually, Mataji, your voice is echoing a little bit. So, can it be clear? Or
yes,
it is little bit echoing.
Today is too much.
Should I mute everybody? Will that help?
No, Mataji, it's not coming clear, Raji.
Oh, Krishna. Okay, I'll try to again dial in from my phone and your attention. Okay.
Okay. Is it better now? Oh, I'm myself echoing. Hold on. Okay, it should be better now. Is it better?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, perfect. So once Lord Ram entered the forest, we just saw the first verse of Aranyakanda, how Lord Ram, who has the qualities of courageousness and invincibility, he enters the forest and he sees clusters of hermitages. Now, in the next few verses, the reaction of the people in the forest is actually described. So I just read that verse. It says, Vaidehim Lakshmanam Ramam Netrair Animishair Iva Ascharya Bhutam Dridrishuhu Sarve Tevana Vasinaha. The forest dwelling sages saw Sita, Lakshmana and Rama without a wink on their eyes. They were struck with wonder as they were completely absorbed in the beauty of Sita, Ram and Lakshman as they arrived inside the forest. So the people, the sages there and the forest dwellers and everybody, when they saw these three beautiful people coming, actually it is described in the Aranyakanda when they were walking, actually now Ram was in the front, Sita was in the center and Lakshmana was at the back. That is this order they were going. Actually in the previous Ayodhya Kanda and all, we see that first Lakshmana walked, behind him Sita, then Lord Ram. But now the order has changed. Actually Ram is going for Sajjana Rakshana. He's going to go and protect the people. So he walks in the front, Lakshmana is in the back and Sita is in the center. So like this, when they are entering into this forest of Dandakaranya, all the people, they were so amazed looking at the beauty of the three of them, and they were just staring at them without a wink in their eye, without blinking their eyelids. Just like the gopis of Vrindavan, they were cursing Lord Brahma for creating this eyelid, because the eyelids have to blink every few seconds. So like that, all the sages in the forest there in Dandakaranya and all the forest dwellers there, when they saw Ram, Lakshman and Sita, without a blink in their eye, they were just staring, drinking the beauty of the three of them. So when the sages saw Lord Ram, Lakshman, and Sita enter like this into the forest, they all extended their hospitality and they took care of them very nicely. And then the next day, the three of them, they woke up and they continued to walk inside the forest. And when they walked into the forest, suddenly a huge demon appeared. Now this demon, he was as large as a mountain peak. He had deep eyes. His mouth was very, very big. He looked horrible. He had a monstrous belly. So like this, he looked extremely scary. And he had killed several animals like deers and elephants and so many animals he had killed. And he had adorned himself with the skin of these animals. And he was wearing the skulls of these animals like garlands. And he smeared himself with all the fat and the blood of all these animals he had killed. And he entered the forest and he came in front of Sita, Ram and Lakshman. So like this, when Ram saw this demon, he was very surprised. And this demon, he went running angrily and with a shrieking, screaming voice, he ran towards Ram, Lakshman and Sita. And looking at Sita, he grabbed Sita in his hands and took her. He saw this beautiful lady coming with Ram and Lakshman and he grabbed Sita in his hands. And he screamed at Lord Ram. He said, "You two men, you wear all these clothes like a hermit. You're wearing tree barks, but you're handling bows and arrows and swords like warriors. Yet you have entered Dandakaranya forest with your wife. Though you look like ascetics and people who have renounced everything wearing tree barks, you have come into this forest with your wife. You're hypocrites. Today I will kill you. Tell me who you are before I kill you and eat you." Like that, he starts screaming at Lord Ram and Lakshman. So at that time, he introduces himself. He says, "I am the great demon by the name Virada, and I'm roaming in this forest of Dandakaranya with my weapons, always eating the flesh of all these sages. So I am the great demon now. Tell me who you are. And I see this beautiful woman in my hand, this beautiful best waisted, that is, she's got very narrow hip waist, Sita Devi. So he looks at Sita Devi and he says, "This narrow-waisted woman will become my wife. I will drink your blood and I'll kill both of you and I will take Sita away from me." So like this, he makes statements and Sita was totally shocked. She was trembling. She was grief-stricken and she was in the hands of this demon. So seeing this, Lord Ram, he became very, very, very tormented. He started screaming. He was telling Lakshmana, "Oh, dear Lakshmana, just see what has happened to this wonderful Princess Sita. She is the daughter of Emperor Janaka. She was brought up so comfortably in the kingdom. And she is my traditional auspicious wife. And just see, she has gone into the hands of a demon." So like this, Lord Ram, he begins to lament and grief. And Lord Ram was never used to blame anyone or find fault in anyone. But at this point, Lord Ram was so much in grief that he just said one statement. He said, "See how Kaikeyi's evil desire is now getting fulfilled." He was like totally shaken up. Lord Ram was totally shaken up and he made the statement, "Just see how our stepmother Kaikeyi's desires are getting fulfilled and my dear Sita has gone into the hands of a demon. Oh dear Saumitri, my dear Lakshmana, son of Sumitra, this grief of others touching Sita is more than my father's death or grabbing away the kingdom from me." He makes the statement, "If anyone touches Sita, I just cannot tolerate it. It is the greatest grief for me if someone comes and attacks my wife. I could even tolerate the death of my father. Even that didn't give me so much grief. Even when my kingdom went away, I was composed. I didn't have any problem. But now when I see someone touching Sita, it breaks my heart." So he begins to lament to Lakshmana like this. He's screaming. Sita is screaming in the hands of the demon. At that time, Lakshmana says, "Oh Ram, you are the Lord of the universe. You are the supreme Lord of all beings. Why are you grieving and crying like this? And I am your eternal servant. You are always attended by me. I am your servant eternally. So why are you grieving? You're the supreme Lord. Let's take up our bows and arrows and fight with this demon. He's after all a demon. You're the supreme Lord. Come on, let's fight." So like that, Lakshmana tells him, and this demon by the name Virada, he shouted. He said, "First, before you fight with me, tell me who you are. then you can fight with me. So at that time, Lord Ram says, I am Rama and he is Lakshmana. We are from the Surya Vamsha. And they introduce themselves. And then Ram and Lakshman, they take out their swords and they begin to attack this Rakshasa because he has Ram's wife Sita in his hand. They are like extremely angry and frustrated and they begin to attack him. So at this, when they were fighting with this demon Viradhan, nothing happened to him. They were trying to cut out his limbs with their swords, but nothing would happen to his limbs. So actually, this demon, he had a benediction from Brahma that no weapon could do anything to him. So like this, they were trying hard to fight with him and nothing was happening to his limbs because of the weapons they were using. Nothing could do, the weapons couldn't do anything to him. So finally, this demon at one point, he drops Sita down and he grabs Ram and Lakshman in both of his hands and he carries them on his shoulders into the forest. Okay, he drops Sita. Just remember this, he's dropped off Sita there. And he grabs, in one hand he grabs Ram, in the other hand he grabs Lakshman. He puts them on his shoulders and he runs deep into the forest. Now Sita is left there, okay? So he runs into the forest and Sita is crying out, oh my God, my dear husband, don't leave me and go. She's screaming and Lord Ram and Lakshman are going with this demon and Sita even cries out. She says, oh demon, please take me. It's okay. You can take me away and kill me or do whatever, but please leave these wonderful princes of the Ikshvaku dynasty. Don't kill them. So she's screaming out like this in agony. And this demon takes both of them and he runs inside. At that time when they are going inside the forest, Ram and Lakshman, understanding that no weapon could do anything to this demon, with their mere fists, with their hands, they tear off the arms of this demon. Okay, so with their hands, because they know weapons cannot do anything. Then his arms are mutilated and the demon, who is like a dark cloud, he's totally frustrated because his arms are all torn off and he faints down to the ground. Just like how a mountain is demolished by the thunderbolt of Indra. Very nice. Valmiki is very, very poetic. I mean, of course he is. So very nicely he describes just like how a mountain is tormented by the thunderbolt of Indra. Similarly, that huge demon just falls down because his arms are torn off. Then Lakshman and Ram, they get onto this demon and they start pounding him on the ground with their fists. But the demon was not dying because there's no weapon that can actually kill him. So they're not able to completely kill this demon. So at that time, Lord Ram says, Lakshmana, we have to dig a big hole and bury him. That is the only way to kill him. He has to suffocate to death. That is the only way we can kill this demon. So Ram, like that, he stands on the throat of the demon, keeping one of his legs on the throat of the demon, and he holds on to the demon and he tells Lakshmana, begin to dig a hole. Let's bury him. So at that time, when this was happening, Lakshmana has begun to dig the hole to bury this demon. Ram is standing on the throat of the demon. That time with a choked voice, this demon begins to speak. Now here is the twist. The demon says, by a curse, I had to enter this horrible body of a demon. But actually, I am the celestial Gandharva named Tumburu. And Kubera had actually cursed me. King Kubera cursed me angrily for not presenting myself in a service. And I was being interested in the dancer Ramba and running after her lustily. Because of that, I didn't go and attend to the service of Kubera. So Kubera got very angry with me and he cursed me to become a demon. Hence, I had to take this body of a demon. When I went and begged forgiveness to Kubera, I went and asked him for forgiveness. That time, Kubera said, when Dasharatha's Rama kills you in a fight, that time you will attain your original nature, you will get your celestial body, and you will come back to the heavenly abode. So at that time, the demon says, now is the time for the curse clearance to me. I'm going to get relieved of this curse. Thank you, Lord Ram, for coming. So he says that, and by your grace, I will be released today from this horrible curse, and I really wish to go back to my heavenly abode. So Lord Ramachandra and Lakshmana, they understand what had happened and then they bury this demon on his instructions and the demon dies and he reaches his original position as Tumburu. Now this is Tumburu who was in the form of Viradha. Now Viradha is killed. So actually, there are a lot of interesting realizations in this particular story. Virata, first he lifts Sita and then he drops her off, okay? And then he carries away Ram and Lakshman into the forest, far away from Sita, and then he gets killed, okay? So generally, Ram doesn't like to kill demons in the presence of Sita. Whenever he has to kill demons, he prefers Sita not being around. The reason is, Sita is the mother of the universe. She has the heart of a forgiving mother. Hence, she will forgive anybody. And she'll go to the extent of forgiving all the demons, seeing the good in them. Okay, the heart of a mother is always like that. The universal mother is like that. She's always worried about her children, whether it is demon or a good person or a sage or whoever it is. After all, they're all the children of the Lord, right? So the mother is always very forgiving. She always likes to see only good in others. So when Ram had to execute his duties of killing the miscreants, he would never keep Sita around because it is an unnecessary problem, because she is going to forgive them and woman is going to be killed. So that's why the demon actually let down Sita, and then Ram and Lakshman went deep into the forest and killed Sita. So he had to drop off Sita. So this is one interesting realization that is there within the story. And there is a Thalastuti. That is when there are many stories in the Ramayana. Even in the Bhagavatam, if you see, so many chapters of so many stories are being told. And at the end of the story, we have Sukadeva Goswami talking about a Thalastuti. That is, if you hear the story, this is the result you will get. So like that, there is a Thalastuti. So listening to the story of killing of Virata, those who have listened to the story or let others listen to this episode of Virata, all their sins are absolved undoubtedly. This is a statement in Skanda Purana. So all glories to all of you. Now, before giving up his body, Virata said, O Ram, 1.5 yojanas of distance from here, there is a great sage by the name Sharabhanga. So this sage has a sun-like, sun-like luster. And please quickly approach him and he will give you guidance. So after saying the statement, this Virata dies. Okay, so immediately they go, they pick up Sita where Virata had left her, and then the three of them, they proceed into the forest where Sharabhanga was living. Now when they came near the ashram of Sharabhanga, what did they see? This is a big surprise. They saw a golden chariot of Indra outside. Indra himself had personally come to the ashram of Sharabhanga. Now, Sharabhanga had performed very great austerities, and Indra had come with his chariot to take him to the heavenly abode. But Sharabhanga, he decided not to go with Indra because he wanted to wait to see Lord Ram. He knew Lord Ram was coming and he was waiting to see Lord Ram. Now, Virata had already given the information, go there soon. Okay? So the three of them are going, they are seeing the golden chariot of Indra. Indra is waiting to take Sharabhanga to his heavenly kingdom, but Sharabhanga is refusing to go and he is waiting for Lord Ramachandra to come. So, when Sharabhanga sees Lord Ramachandra, he is so happy and he says, "Now I have seen your lotus feet and I just want to serve you and serve your devotees. I am not going to Indralok." So he tells Indra, "Please go back to Indralok. I am not interested in coming with you." So at that time, Lord Ram, he understands the mind of Sharabhanga and he gives him a benediction. He tells, this very day, you will go to the spiritual world. You will go to Vaikuntha. In front of Lord Ram, when Sharabhanga was meditating on the lotus feet of Lord Ram, he went back to Godhead right in front of them in a beautiful spiritual body. He assumes a very beautiful spiritual body and he goes back to Godhead. So before he goes, he gives him another instruction. He tells Lord Ram, it will be a great fulfillment of your purpose of living in this forest if you go to the ashram of Sutikshana. Now, after killing Virata, he meets Sharabhanga. Sharabhanga goes back to Godhead. And then the three of them, they move on to the ashram of Sutikshana. So Lord Ram, Sita, Lakshman, all of them, they went to the ashram of Sutikshana. Now, when they went to the ashram of Sutikshana, all of them, they were very beautifully invited by Sutikshana to come inside the ashram, and all the sages of Dandakaranya actually assembled there in the ashram of Sutikshana. And all these sages, they explained to Lord Ram about the different Rakshasas who were living in this area of Dandakaranya, and they told Lord Ram that these Rakshasas, they don't allow us to perform any yajnas. They're creating a lot of havoc. So they asked Lord Ram to protect them and kill all these demons who are living in this forest. So at that time, Lord Ramachandra said, as a Kshatriya, I am your servant. I am the servant of the Brahmanas. That is my duty. My duty is to protect all of you. I will definitely kill all the demons during my stay here. So like this, Lord Ram passed about 10 years. Now 10 years is going to fly by in the area of the forest of Dandakaranya. Then, after spending time in different sages' ashrams, Lord Ram goes back to the ashram of Sutikshana. And this time, after conversing with Sutikshana, Lord Ram inquires about the ashram of Agastya. So when he inquires about the ashram of Agastya, Sutikshana directs him to the ashram of Agastya. This is the next important place Lord Ramachandra goes to. Now, Agastya Muni, the story of Agastya Muni is actually in detail spoken in Ramayana. We will not get into the story, but we'll just talk about how Lord Ram actually went to the ashram of Agastya. Now, Lord Ram, he went to the, entered the ashram of Agastya, and Agastya worshipped him. And Agastya gave him some very important gifts. Agastya gave him a bow, two quivers of arrows, one Brahmastra, and a sword that was from Brahma. He gave all these gifts, just like how when Sita, she went to the ashram of Atri and Anasuya, she received gifts. Similarly, Lord Ramachandra received gifts from Agastya. He gave all this to Ram, he blessed Lord Ram, and then he praised Sita for her chastity. So he tells her, you have earned the eternal glory by voluntarily accepting hardships and following your husband Ram. So he blesses Sita also, and then he gives them a nice place, gives them a nice place to stay. And afterwards, Agastya says that, next you must go to Panchavati, which is there on the banks of river Godavari. That will be a good place for you to stay during the rest of the time of your exile. So this is the instruction given by Agastya before they leave. Now, just before Ram is about to leave, Agastya tells him, Ram, I already know who you are. You are the Supreme Personality. You have come here, and I feel very, very grateful to you for your coming here. So he pays his obeisances to Lord Ram, Lakshman, and Sita, understanding their true identity. And then Ram, Lakshman, and Sita, they proceed to the inside the forest towards Panchavati. So this is the next part of the story in Aranyakanda. Now they are proceeding towards Panchavati, which was shown by Agastya. After living in the forest of Dandakaranya for some time, they proceed to Panchavati. Now when they are proceeding towards Panchavati, on the way, they see a very, very, very huge bird. And when they see this bird, they are kind of surprised. They haven't seen such a huge bird. And they go and ask this bird, because this bird was on their way, they ask this bird, you look like a Rakshasa. Who are you? You're so big and you look like a demon. Who are you? So at that time, the bird indeed replies that I am Jatayu, as expected. He says, I am Jatayu. And he tells Ram, oh Ram, don't you know I'm your father's friend? My name is Jatayu. I'm Dashrath's friend. And then Jatayu begins to explain his lineage. So he first recounts about how the different species were created from the different wives of Kashyapa. Remember this, it is there in the Bhagavatam actually, how the different species are created from the wives of Kashyapa, how all the bird species were born, how the insects were born, how the snakes were born. All this is recounted in the Bhagavatam also. So Jatayu gives a small class on this actually. He tells about how all the species were created, and then specifically he talks about Vinata and Kadru, who are the two of the wives of Kashyapa. Kashyapa had many wives. One set was Vinata and Kadru. And specifically he talks about Vinata. Vinata had two sons, Garuda and Aruna. Okay, two sons. Garuda is the son of Vinata. That's why he is called Vainetaya, right? Okay. Anyhow, he's the son of Vinata. And Vinata also had another son by the name Aruna. Aruna became the charioteer of the sun god. So like this, Jatayu explains about Vinata and the two sons of Vinata, and he introduces himself as the son of Aruna, who is the charioteer of the sun god. And he also says, I was born with another brother and his name is Sampati. So both Jatayu and Sampati are brothers, and they are the son of Aruna. So he introduces himself, his lineage, and about the different species. He tells everything to Lord Ram. Then he tells Lord Ram, I'm ready to offer myself to you. I will always be there to protect you and Lakshman. And even when you and Lakshman are going out into the forest, I can even guard Sita Devi. I will always be present for all of you. So at that time, Lord Ram, with his head bent down, with a grateful heart, he lovingly embraces Jatayu. So we will see in the future how Jatayu gives his life to protect Sita Devi. So like this, after their encounter with Jatayu, they proceed to reach Panchavati. And once they reach this beautiful place of Panchavati, Lord Ramchandra, he asks Lakshman to find a suitable place that is of the liking of both Lakshman and Sita, and he asks Lakshman to build a cottage there. So when Ram says this, Lakshmana says, I am only your servant. There is no question of my liking here. I will just follow the instructions that you give me. So just tell me where to build the ashram. I will build the ashram. There is no question of my liking, my decision. All that doesn't happen here. You are my master. I am your servant. I will just do what you say. So at that time, Ram says, okay, and he finds a very beautiful place which is close to the river so that they get fresh drinking water, and he tells Lakshmana to build the cottage, and Lakshmana immediately executes the order of his brother, and he builds a very beautiful cottage in the forest. And they continue to live happily together like that. Again, in this area, about 3 years passed by, 13 years actually passed by in this region now, total. Now, it was the time of Hemanta Ritu. So we know different seasons. One of the seasons is called Hemanta. This Hemanta season comes just before winter, but it's very cold. Especially in North India, it gets very, very cold. So Hemanta Ritu season just begins. And at that time, Sitaram, Lakshman, all of them, they would take bath in the Godavari River. So Godavari River would become very, very cold by then. So at that time, when Lakshman and Ram were entering into the Godavari River, Lakshmana begins to speak. He just talks about how all the ascetics and these sages in the forest, they're keeping up with the chillness in the forest. You know, he's glorifying them in spite of so many seasonal changes, whether it is hot or cold, they enter the river and they take up so many austerities. So like that, Lakshmana was praising all the sages. Then suddenly, Lakshmana thinks of his brother Bharata, because Bharata also vowed to remain an ascetic in underground, right? So he thinks, oh, the Saraju River is flowing there. Even Bharata must be taking his bath there. Bharata takes up so many austerities. He wakes up so early in the morning, much before sunrise. Very early in the morning, like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, he wakes up and he goes to the river and he takes bath. He must be performing all his duties even in this cold weather. Poor Bharata, he must be taking bath in this cold, freezing cold water of Saraju in these early hours. So like this, Lakshmana is actually thinking of Bharata, and he's feeling so bad about the austerities that Bharata has taken. So at that time, Ram, when he hears this, he gets very overwhelmed with grief from the separation of Bharata, and he says, I'm just waiting. 13 years have passed by. I'm just waiting for the day this entire exile is over, and I just want to get reunited with Bharata and Shatrughna. So like that, the both of them are conversing and they are thinking of their brothers, Bharata and Shatrughna, and singing their glories. So like this, time passes by, and one day, our favorite personality, the greatest of all females, Shurpanaga, enters the story. So this is a very important juncture where the great Shurpanaga is entering. So we'll talk about Shurpanaga a little before we end this class. So our favorite lady, she's going to come now. So like this, after bathing in the river, Ram, Lakshman, Sita, they go back to their ashram and they're taking rest. Lord Ram comes out to the porch at the entrance of the ashram, and he's sitting down very casually. He's conversing with some people, and then he sits down and he's looking at the beautiful forest there. So at that time, casually loitering in the forest, by chance, Shurpanaka enters the forest, and here she catches a glimpse of Lord Ram. Now, Valmiki, the great poet, let's see what all he writes. Very interesting. The Shurpanaka encounter is one of the most poetic places, actually. So Valmiki writes, Shurpanaka, sees Lord Ram sitting at the entrance of the cottage. Lord Ram's face is radiant. His arms are lengthy. His eyes are like lotus petals. He has a stride like an elephant. He has beautiful curling locks on his cheeks. He's very delicate, yet very vigorous. He's the possessor of all kingly aspects. His complexion is like deep blue, the color of a lotus. He looks very brilliant. Okay, this is how, in one word, he's describing the beauty of Lord Ram sitting on the porch. Then, this Shurpanaka who entered the forest, seeing Lord Ram like this, she gets lovesick. She's totally struck by love. Now, in the very next verse, Valmiki, he visualizes Shurpanaka standing and Lord Ram sitting in front of the porch. Okay, he's visualizing the two of them. He begins to compare the two of them and he composes some beautiful verses. I'm going to read those verses. He says, Sumukham Durmukhi Ramam Vrittamadhyam Mahodari Vishalaksham Virupakshi Sukesham Tamramurdhana Priyarupam Virupasa Suswaram Bhairavaswana Tarunam Dharuna Vriddha Dakshinam Vamabhashini Nyaya Vrittam Sudur Vritta Priyam Apriyadharshana Shariraja Samavishta Rakshasi Rama Abravid. So Valmiki compares them. He says, she, the demoness, who's facially unpleasant one, and is comparing with the beautiful faced one, who's Lord Ram. So she's comparing the demoness, Shurpanaka as facially unpleasant one, and Lord Ram is facially the beautiful one. Sumukham Durmukhi. Okay, Durmukhi is Shurpanaka, Sumukham is Lord Ramachandra. Then he says, this lady, Shurpanaka's body was like a huge pillar and this Lord Ram had a beautiful slim waist. Vrittamadhyam Mahodari. Okay, then he says, Lord Ram's eyes were like beautiful lotus petals. Okay, it was like a Visharaksham, very broad, just like lotus petals. And eyes of Shurpanaka were like deep wells, Virupakshi. She was copper-haired. She was Tamramurdhana. She had copper-colored hair. Today it is a fashion for us to go and color our hair in red and brown and all that. But in those days, only Rakshasas had such colors. So Shurpanaka had copper-colored hair. And Lord Ramachandra had Sukesham, very, very beautiful curling hair. Very silky, beautiful, nice, soft curling hair. Shurpanaka was Virupa. Rama was Priyarupa, the ugly featured one with the charming featured one he was comparing. Then he compares the deep, brassy voiced one with a gentle voiced one. Suswaram Bhairavaswana. That is, Lord Ramachandra had Suswaram, very soft and beautiful voice. Shurpanaka had Bhairavaswana, very, very deep, brassy voice. The deplorably oldish one he was comparing with the youngish one. Tarunam. Tarunam means very young. And Dharuna Vriddha. Shurpanaka was very, very old. Actually, Shurpanaka was very old when she comes and encounters Lord Ram. She was actually already married. And her husband was killed by Ravana. That is also there, actually. That story is also there. So Shurpanaka was very old by now. And Lord Ram was in his youth. The crooked talker with the pleasant talker. The ill-mannered. Dakshinam Vamabhashini. Dakshinam, actually left and right, the actual translation is. But it just means that one speaks well. The other one doesn't speak nice words. Then the well-mannered one with ill-mannered one. Nyaya Vrittam Sudur Vritta. Uncouth with the kooth. Priyam apriya darshana. Abominable one with the amiable one. Shariraja samavishta. So like this, Valmiki, he begins to compare the two opposites, Shurpanaka and Lord Ram. Lord Ram is sitting, Shurpanaka is standing in the front. He's looking at both of them and he's comparing the contrast between them. So like this, Shurpanaka, when she sees Lord Ram, she's struck with love and she begins to speak. Shall I say what she begins to speak or shall we stop here? It's 5 minutes past 1 hour. So, okay, I think we'll stop here. Okay. because it's time up. The encounter of Shurpanakha and Rama takes a long time, so we'll stop here. Anyone has any questions or comments, please go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, please go ahead.
Okay, Hare Krishna, Mataji. Wonderful class. Thank you so much for sharing a lot of wonderful pastimes. I have a question. Like, till now, Ram and Sita, they spend how long time in the forest, Mataji? Till the story you covered, till that time?
Oh, sorry, Mataji. I was just talking on mute. Sorry. Yeah. So, Vinila Mataji, I was saying about 13 years is almost over now. Not over. They are in the 13th year, you can say, when they are meeting Shurpanakha.
Oh, thank you, Mataji. They're just rest over like 1 year is pending, right, Mataji?
What is that? Yeah, just left over 1 year. Yeah, yeah.
One year. Thank you so
just
much,
about. Mataji. About a year, you can say. Like, Valmiki Ramayana says 10 years passed by, almost in Dandakaranyaka forest, and then slowly 3 more years passed by. You can say approximately 12, 13 years. I'm not exactly sure of the exact words. If I find an exact word, I'll send.
Okay? Sure, ma'am. Thank you,
but anyone else who knows Ramayana better wants to add also please.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanu Pranam. Thank you so much, Mataji, for such a wonderful class. Mataji, I have one question. That is, how a demon can touch the mother Sita? Because in the later pastime, when Ravana came to kidnap Sita, then Agni Sita went, not the original Sita. So here in this pastime, we see that demon grabbed Mother Sita. So how is it so that he can touch Mother Sita?
Yeah, Mataji, I was just reading some explanation about this. It is said that he was actually a devotee of Goddess Lakshmi, this Viradha, but he had taken up the form of a demon. His past life was a little bit recounted. So the way he touches Mother Sita is also not actually, though he makes statements in a lusty mood, the same statement in Sanskrit has been given different.
So you want to share my screen?
The same verse in Sanskrit has been given alternate meanings also, that he actually picked her up like a mother. Okay? So there are a lot of commentaries on the verses on how he picks up Sita, because he's Viradha and also he was actually a devotee of Goddess Lakshmi, but then he decides to drop her off so that he can be killed. Is that okay, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji, yes. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you for asking that question. I didn't elaborate much on that because I didn't want to get into too many details, but good question. Thank you for the question. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for such a nice explanation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji.
Sula Shri Gopi, Dandwat, Jaija Shirade, wonderful class, Jai Ho. Just feel that our grandma and grandfather is taking, telling all the stories, and that was potency, and just remember all that thing. Thank you.
Very nice comment, Vaishali Mataji. Thank you so much for your presence. It's very, very nice. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Kamadaki Mataji, Dandavas, please add or correct Mataji.
No. See, I was talking when I was in a mute and I was saying, I said, what's happened? Somebody else is also talking. So then I said, okay, very nice next class, Mataji. Very nice. Just, I like to have it just go on and on and on. But,
Thank you so much, Kamadiki Mataji. Thank you for blessing us with your association.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna Preeti Vilasni Mataji. I was like, so proud of
you. Thank you.
It's so good to be back, and it's so good to come in on Ramayana. Fantastic narration of the story. I'm going to go back and listen to the previous classes, but that was very, 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 very beautiful. I did not want you to stop. One thing I was just thinking about, one thought that came to my mind when you were talking about Ramchandraya and you're talking about Bharata and Lakshmana and how Lakshmana was thinking about his brother. You know, I was thinking so much love there is between the siblings. You know, what an example in contrast to, obviously, Ravana and his relationship with his brothers, the relationships between the sons of Dasaratha. Beautiful example. And the other thought that came to my mind when you were talking about Bharata, you know, taking cold shower and this. And I was thinking, what a comparison to the kings of the bygone era versus the kings of now, where, you know, they were kings, they were royalty, and they, obviously, they were sleeping on, you know, wonderful beds and this, but yet they also were able to live with the bare necessities. You know, so it was not like they were so dependent on their riches. So what an example in that in itself of how an actual leader is. You know, he's able to go, he's not attached to the riches. The riches are just a tool for his performing his duty. But that's not his life, and that's not something that he's dependent upon. So, you know, those two thoughts came to my mind as you were narrating the story. So thank you so much. I'm so excited. I'm actually having goosebumps talking to you guys. I'm so happy to be home.
We are so happy you're back. And we really missed you, Mataji. We really, really, really missed you. And we're just looking forward to hearing about all your travels. So we will schedule that soon, Mataji. So thank you so much for coming back and giving us your association.
Thank you.
Okay. So then we'll end the call. Thank you all so much for giving us your association and being there for us. Vancha Sarpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patipanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Ananta Koti Vaishnavrindaki Jai Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Srimad Valmiki Ramayanam Ki Jai Shri Lord Ramachandra Ki Jai All Glories to the Assembled Devotee Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Hare Krishna.